friends, welcome to Hashtag Music Ed Love. You know that feeling when something has got to change, but you just don't know exactly what or how just yet? This episode is for you. Award-winning composer Katie O'Hara Labrie delves into life after the classroom, composing for school ensembles, the publishing industry, and her process as a composer. Katie is one of my dear friends, and I'm so excited to be here. We are recording this from Virginia Beach. And Katie, I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thanks. It's a great weekend. We're getting ready for our first Virginia Stringspiration event. And if you're not here this weekend, I hope you're here with us next year.
So that's right. It is going to be amazing. I'm so excited. Well, Katie, before we jump in any further, I'm going to put your bio in the show notes, but can you tell us, what does your life look like right now?
I guess the first answer I could say is busy. but busy, but exciting. Over the last few years, my career has changed dramatically, and I'll kind of dive into that a little bit more later. But right now I am composing specifically for school, you know, age children, mostly in the string world, but I'm starting to explore a little bit of band as well. I have a band director husband, so he's like, write me something. And then I also do guest conducting, clinicking, that sort of thing. But the big thing that's happened this year is that I am the new orchestra division editor for Randall Standridge Music. And when I say that, people say, who's that? What's that? So Randall Standridge is a very well-known name in the band world, and he started a publishing company a few years ago. And this year brought me on to start an orchestra catalog. So just like you would go out and buy music from, you know, Alfred Music or Carl Fischer or Chose or wherever, now you have another venue to do that.
And it's so exciting. Randall Standridge, the cover art is so unique and so cool. I think that's been one of the neatest things for me, is to just see something so innovative in the music publishing world that I haven't seen in our realm ever before.
No, definitely. And actually, Randall designs all the covers himself. So our company is very small. It's Randall, his husband. They have a college paid intern guy and me and one other editor on the band side. And that's it. And so what's been really neat is that I have gotten to learn all aspects of the publishing process, from the initial submissions and editing and engraving, proofing, recording, marketing, everything. And so it's been definitely a whirlwind of a year. But like you say, the company is really unique. Our company motto is creativity, quality, and diversity. And so when we're looking at pieces, I'm always looking at them from all those realms, but also an educational standpoint, first and foremost. And our composers, there's going to be names that you know and love, and there's going to be composers that you've never heard of, some from other countries even, that we're trying to bring into the fold.
It's so exciting. And it's been really cool to watch from this other side. You all, I have known Katie for years now, but when we first met, she was an orchestra director in Fairfax County, where I was also teaching. And Katie was and is a phenomenal educator. One of the hard questions I feel like I kind of wanted to touch base on is, what did that transition look like? Why did you transition out of the classroom? Because it certainly had nothing to do with your teaching ability or your love of teaching, because Katie emanates a love for education and for growth and for music. So if you could share a little bit about what that looked like and how you ended up where you are today, I would love that.
Yeah. So I was always going to be an orchestra teacher. I think it was seventh grade. We were doing the Sound Music musical, like the full thing. And I was in the pit, and the orchestra director was late one day. So I grabbed that baton and I started rehearsal, and I was hooked. So that was all I was ever going to do. I went to college for it. I started doing it. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. But during that time, I also had some health concerns. So I have a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder, and it affects all sorts of things and all sorts of parts of the body at various moments throughout the year or the day or the month. And so that inconsistency made it really hard for me to be in the classroom on a regular basis. Like, I can go and do guest conducting for a little bit, but I couldn't do it, you know, day after day, hour after hour. And so this transition into composition really happened because of luck. I had written an arrangement for my students years prior, and I used it for my grad recital, and Tony Maiello over at George Mason really liked it. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to Midwest next week. I'm going to take this to Bob Phillips. And I was like, oh, okay. So I printed a nice, you know, copy, put it in a folder. He brought physical music to Bob Phillips. That was like in 2000, maybe 10 or so. And Bob liked it and published it. And I had my first piece. And so I was never like a path that I was going to take. It just started to become part of what I did as an educator. I needed a piece for my cellos to work on extensions at the same time I needed some sort of holiday piece. So I wrote Hanukkah dances, you know? And so I was always writing pieces with some sort of educational goal in mind. And so as I had to leave the classroom, I had a lot of time, you know, post-surgery or whatever, I was in bed, but I could have my laptop and my brain was still going. My body wasn't moving at the time, but my brain was. And so I could write. And so I just started writing a lot. And I ended up having at that point enough contacts in the publishing world and getting published a lot in the last few years. And then that transitioned just beautifully into this connection, having met Randall Sandridge, who, if you don't know, seriously follow him on social media because his posts are so inspirational and just like he gets what everyone goes through as a teacher. And it's just so fun to watch all the things that he comes up with and shares. And so I, you know, connect with him and all of a sudden I had this kind of new dream role. And I really do see it as I'm still a music educator. It's just, I'm creating the literature for it and curating the literature for it instead of, you know, doing it on the day-to-day basis that many of you are.
Well, and that's one of the things I love about the path that has kind of come to fruition for you is that you are still teaching in a really unique way. And so that's been really neat for me to see and to watch that process. How long did it take? I know we were talking earlier that in 2015, it sounds like that's when things started to kind of ramp up with your health. Some issues started.
Yeah.
And then how long did it take before you were able to go fully on disability? And then...
Yeah. So I went out at the end of 2019. In between a couple different surgeries. And then I knew I'd be out for about a year or so, but that ended up, you know, turning into more. And it was hard. I will not hesitate to say that that was devastating to have to leave the classroom, but life just doesn't always go the way you expect, but it's come out in a way that I didn't expect to. And that's just so wonderful. And so a lot of times when I'm clinicking and I do Q&As with, especially with high school kids, I tell them this, I'm like, you're going to be going into college and you're going to be exploring all these different realms and different careers and different possibilities. And you might have your path, like I'm going to be this, but you just really don't know where it's going to take you. I was recently on a panel at ASTA and it was all about careers in music. And almost every single person was not where they started with the exact career that they started. I'm actually going to do a webinar series through Alfred in September and October. It's for teachers, but also especially I think for high school students and college students on careers in music, because I did not know how many careers there were just within like my little corner of the world of publishing. I mean, I was telling you all those different jobs I do. I mean, I happen to do all those because we're a tiny company, but in a lot of places, those are all individual jobs or teams of people. And having the music knowledge is an important aspect of all of those jobs, even if it's marketing, you know? So you can really go a lot of different places with a music career. So follow me on social media. I guess I think I'm at Labrie Music. And then you can learn about when those webinars are going to happen.
Yes. And we'll make sure we include links to Katie's social in the show notes as well. But one of the things, you know, I kind of also wanted to touch base on is that for those of you listening who are, you know, something is off and you need a change, Katie is such a great example of someone who has really taken a lot of time, gone through a lot to find a path that works for her and her family. And for all of you, there is a path out there. It may just take you years. I mean, it has taken years to get here, but she has persevered through it all. And that's something that I just admire so greatly, having watched it from here and to see also the difference that you're making in teachers' lives and in kids' lives. And it's just a different path, like you said, than you may have taken originally, but your compositions are so beautiful. They're so I love working on them with students when I go guest conduct. And I'm wondering, like, when you get ready to write a piece, what is it that inspires you? How are you motivated? How do you go? What is your process?
It's 20 different things. And it just really depends on the piece and the day and the moment. So I like to tell a story of Sky Suite, which is one of my favorites just for the elements of teaching that it instills. Because it's almost like this little mini method book within a piece for those like maybe second year players. But point of the story was, I was just literally driving down Ox Road one day and it was just lots of trees. It's just kind of straight. And then I turned a corner and then all of a sudden, like the sky just opened up and it was like those big puffy clouds, but with the sun rays just like streaming through. And I had this vision and kind of thought of this friend who had recently passed away, but I just had this beautiful sound of just like, ba-da-dee-da-da-da, just kind of came in my head. So what I do is when I'm at the stoplight, I open up my phone and I put on the little voice memo app and I just sang the melody into my phone. And when I get home, I transcribe it, the melody. From there, I usually add a bass line. Then I figure out what kind of rhythmic structure I want to have going on in the accompaniment. And that's how I start pieces. But yeah, a lot of times it's in my car just recording melodies on my phone. So it can be something like that. Sometimes pieces I write in a day or two or, you know, a week, you know, really quickly, and they're done from start to finish. And those are the ones that usually I think are the hits. You know, they work, you know, just so fun when it just comes onto the paper right away. But then there's other pieces that I hem and haw over, or I put away for a year and I take back a year later and I say, oh yeah, I remember that melody. And, you know, I come back to it. But number one, I mean, inspiration is usually just educational concepts and student learning is where I usually start.
Hey, music teacher, are you trying to grow your program? Look no further. The Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention is now here and available from giamusic.com. In this amazing resource, you will see a collaboration of music educators from all across the country who have grown their programs tremendously in all different situations. Complete the growth implementation plan and hand it to your administrator, showing them that growth is on its way. Fill in the bringing them home text boxes to apply all of the content from the book to your unique situation and blow your program out of the water. We have a giveaway happening right now. If you are interested in getting your free autographed copy of the Music Teacher's Guide to Recruitment and Retention, simply subscribe to my website at angelaammerman.com and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks and happy program building.
Well, and I think that that's what makes your pieces so wonderful for educators, because you know, as a teacher, every one of you knows, you open up a score and you say, this person has experience teaching, or they have no clue what it's like to actually teach school-age children. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about. And Katie, you certainly do, because we've even talked about adjustments we make from the podium mm-hmm. in existing pieces because they're not working for our kids or whatever the case may be. And that's one of the things that I love about your music is it's just so sound. So many of your pieces feel like teaching pieces without the kids knowing that right. they're teaching pieces, right? So it's like really cool and kind of sneaky.
So I've actually written in my, you know, like notes to the conductor in a couple of pieces, feel free to change X, Y, Z, you know, because honestly, sometimes, you know, for example, in Sky Suite, you could start with slurs or not, depending on what the kids are ready for. I'm like, I'm totally fine with that because I think it's all about the students and what they're capable of. I also wanted to share with you, you know, just kind of back on the Randall Standridge music side of things, is that we also just really have some, I think, unique creative features. So we have cello two parts for any piece where the cello and bass part are separate. So if you don't have a bass section or need to enhance your bass section, those are going to be free downloads. We have free backtracks for like, if it has percussion, you can like play along in rehearsal or even at your concert. And all of our music is copyable. It comes with a copyright license where if, you know, a kid loses a part, you can copy it. So, so a lot of things that we just get, like, we've been in your shoes, we get it.
I love that. I don't think I even realized that the music was copyable. That is a big bonus feature. And the cello two part is so cool. That's amazing. Well, okay. So you are now the editor for this company, for the string orchestra stuff. So you're getting music. And as a string pedagogue, I know you're looking for certain things. So what are some of the things that you're looking for as music starts to come in for any of you all who are actually actively composing music and you just want to send it somewhere? And I'll just say, send your music, because if you never send it out, nobody's ever going to see it. And you know, you might get 5 rejections, you might get 20. I don't know what's going to happen with your music, but don't let it just sit in your house. Like, please send it out. And then at least you get feedback as well on it, which is tremendous. So yes. Katie, yeah, what are you looking
and
for?
And not every editor, you know, does send feedback. And honestly, that's just a time thing. I mean, usually what I say is, you know, if it's a rejection, I try to, you know, be nice about it. But then I'll say, if you'd like to reach out to me, and I'd love to, you know, set up time to go over it. Because I think that is important to know, like, what it was. But a lot of times rejections happen just because of space, you know, so it might not be a bad piece. It might just be what's fitting in our catalog. So if you think about, all right, we're going to have, let's say, 5 pieces at each grade level. Okay, well, only one of those at each level can be an E minor dragon tune, right? So if you were the 5th person to send an E minor dragon tune that year, like, I might have already filled that spot. And actually, that did happen this year. That exact, like, dragons this, and I wrote one this year too. So, like, you know, it's okay. So, so that's, you know, that's part of it. But as far as what we accept, you know, I am looking at trying to balance the grade level. So sometimes, you know, I'll get a piece and it's like, okay, this is pretty much a 2, but the cellos are shifting all over the place, but no one else is. And like all the other skills are a 2. So I can either reject it or I can go back to the composer and say, hey, this is what I see. This is what we could either make it all harder and like you need to change some rhythms or something and beef it up to a 3, or we can like water the cello part down so we can get this to a 2, you know, because it is important that there's some sense of what the grade levels are. And I know it's slightly different for every publisher and all, you know, all this, and that's a challenge already for teachers. So I want to try to make it as easy as possible, but there is balance. I mean, even when I submit my own stuff, I know I'm like, oh wait, there's this one skill that's okay. I'm like, this is a grade 1, but I'm writing it on the G string to teach G string. Is that like a grade 1 skill? I don't know. You know, so just kind of going back and forth about, you know, balancing that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that one of the best pieces of advice you gave me on a piece that I'm like working on is just keep it in the grade level, like picture the grade level you want it to be and think as that grade level teacher, is this going to work for those group of kids? And I think that, why wouldn't I do that? Like after you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. That, you know, you should really be keeping that in mind as you're writing the piece, because that can really direct some of the different parts that you're doing, especially the counter melodies and the bass line, to make sure that it's playable for the kids and publishable.
Yeah. Something that was really neat that I saw James Madison University do last year. I don't know if they do this every year, but they had a composition competition specifically for students to write student grade, like I think it was like 3 literature. And some of the pieces came and they were like great pieces, but they were like, this is a 6, you know? And I'm like, I can't mark it's a 6, you know, like that's not a 3. So it was a great learning experience because it is a skill set that, you know, we definitely have all sorts of composers in my company, but you know, a lot of them are teachers because they understand what's needed.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Well, it's been so cool for me to watch, Katie, as you grow and as your compositions just become more and more well-known. Katie is just like a superstar over and over again, editor's choice, and your pieces and having directed many of them. It's such a joy to get to work with your music as well. If you had to give one piece of advice for a teacher who kind of knows that something might need to change, and maybe it's health, maybe it's family, maybe, I mean, who knows what it is, but you know, what's something that they can start doing right away to get themselves ready and to start thinking about what that change might look like?
A couple things come to mind. The first thing is friendship. And I think, you know, like having you as a friend and being able to talk through some of these things is really important, especially when it's a hard time. So if you have somebody that you can rely on that understands what you're going through. That is really, really important. And, you know, a strong family to, you know, support is always exceedingly helpful. And that's been how I've been able to get to, you know, to where I am right now. And then, you know, as far as a lot of this is just being able to let go, being able to accept change and being okay with the fact that it might not be what you want. And that's okay. But knowing that things change, I mean, the whole like a door, was it a door opens, window? What's, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Doors and windows. You know, that whole concept I think is good because you just really don't know what's around the corner. And, you know, whether it's a, you had a bad day because you had a bad interaction with a parent and, you know, that's so hard to let go. I was thinking about that earlier today, that those were so hard to let go when I was teaching, but I don't think about them today, you know, and you probably don't, you know, think about them a couple of days later, you know, so the next day happens and the next day happens and just let it happen.
It's beautiful. I think that you touched on something just a minute ago about how your friends and family are so important to this decision-making process. And I think that there's one more piece that I've heard you talk about a lot, and that's the networking piece. And that's like sharing with people that aren't even necessarily your friends, but like that, hey, this is happening and I'm interested in X, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like whether that's, you know, letting somebody take your piece to Bob Phillips or reaching out to Randall Standridge and being like, hey, I love what you're doing. I think that there's a certain amount of confidence there and boldness that I really admire.
And that's something that did not feel natural to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been having to do that a lot lately because no one knows about my company. So I'm, you know, like, hey, and in your face and like, here it is. And that's, it feels very awkward at first, but I do feel very passionate that we have something important to share. And so that leads the way. And so, so that's where that comes
from. No, I love that. And I want to encourage all of you who are in the situation, a similar situation, because I've spoken with so many teachers who, you know, maybe it's not time yet, but there's something going on that they just need a change, whether it's a new school or maybe it's a new, you know, a new state. I don't know. But I just want to encourage you to do start taking action today, whether it's talking to a friend or building your network to let people know that you're interested in making that move, whatever that next step is.
Yeah, because you never know. I mean, the job with Randall just started with a random Facebook conversation about something else and it turned into a job, you know, so you just don't know.
Yeah, that's so incredible. It's so cool. Well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on from Virginia Beach. With our conversation, we're in like, this is basically an adult like slumber party. We're having so much fun. We're at the Moxie Virginia Beach having a blast. So this is so fun. And I hope that this week you all are going to be able to sprinkle a little stardust on your students, uncover the greatness within a few more young humans, and send those stars through the stratosphere. Happy musicking, friends. Bye.